Mike, do something about this? A year older, so you're a little smarter, huh? Is that? All right. Well, good to see you all here this morning. Well, we were one for three this summer. We made it outside once. It's the way it goes, I guess.
You could do it in November.
We could. You can find anybody that can play guitar outside in the summer or in the winter. All right. Well, we are continuing our series, Christ Soldiers, looking at the various things that we need to do to be soldiers of Jesus Christ in this world. And let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the rain. It's definitely something we can use. And I just appreciate how you provide for us, how you supply needs. You're a kind of a God that even supplies wants. And so just help us to be appreciative, grateful, thankful, to continually praise and honor and worship you, and to not get caught up in the stuff of the world, but to stand firm in the truth of your word, the truth of who you are, and the truth of our Savior. And this morning, as we look at this idea of standing up, standing firm, Father, that you will just, through your Spirit, give us understanding. Help us to take these things and apply them out in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on that step number five today, the seven steps to becoming Christ soldiers. So just by way as a little bit of review, number one that we saw was you need to sign up. It doesn't do you any good to try to use the armor if you haven't signed up. For us, In the Christian world, the signing up would be believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how we sign up. And then along with that comes obedience. We need to then obey as we've signed up. It's just like, you know, it really is. It's just like the military. You sign up, and then you'd better obey. God's a little bit more gracious with us, but still, the discipline come, the we don't obey, it will go well with us. But we also need to realize that ultimately the victory's already been had. Christ coming to this earth and providing a way of salvation, victory is done with his resurrection. Number two is you need to show up. Once you've signed up, you need to show up. In other words, don't be AWOL. Part of the showing up is training, working together, support of one another, being part of the body of Christ. Number three is we need to shape up. We need to be spiritually fit. And the way that we become spiritually fit is by reading our Bible consistently, time of prayer, time with God, applying what we learn, what we read, and then developing relationships with other believers. Just as that iron sharpens iron, we need to be doing that. And that's part of the maturing process as we become more mature in Christ. And it's a progressive thing. It's going to happen over our lifetime. Number four is we need to suit up. We need to suit up. We need to take the armor and we need to put it on and we need to use it. It does us no good if we don't wear it. It does us no good if we haven't prepared also. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. We need to clothe ourselves in that full armor. Today we're going to be looking at standing up. A couple of questions that I'll be answering as we go along the way is, do we always stand? Or is there a time when we need to flee, when we need to retreat? And we're gonna look at those things. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Looking at verses 10 through 14. It says, finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm, therefore. So how do we stand up? How do we stand up? And we have to realize that what are we standing against? We're standing against those spiritual forces. There are fleshly things in the world, there's worldly things, but really what we're standing against is the spiritual things, the spiritual forces of darkness. Because they're affecting the world. They're affecting the flesh. But that's really where our battle is. It's not against people. It's against the spiritual forces. And we need to be able to stand our ground. But to stand our ground, we need to have shown up to get the training, to be prepared. We need to shape up. Learning how to use the armor. So the preparation that comes ahead of time. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14 says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men or women. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. We need to stand firm. We need to put on that armor. It says there in that section, it says, having done everything. Having done everything. Well, what's the everything? Well, we need to be loving God, and we need to be obeying God. We need to love God with our whole being. Not just little pieces here and little pieces there, but we need to love God with everything we are, with everything we have. Mind, soul, strength, our whole being. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we love Christ, if we love God, we will do what he says. Luke 6, 46 talks about obeying. This is Jesus. He's finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who builds his house on the rock. Jesus is being somewhat confrontational here where he's telling them, well, you call me Lord and you say you love me, but why aren't you doing what I tell you to do then? We need to make sure we're doing what God tells us. Daniel and his friends, when they were taken off to Babylon, and they started telling them, well, here's what you do, here's how you act, here's what you eat. And Daniel says, no, this is not what God says I'm supposed to do, so I'm not going to do it. And they could have just, you know, lopped his head off right there and then because he didn't do what the king was telling him to do. But they didn't. The guy who was in charge said, okay, well, we'll see how this works. And it worked. Daniel followed the things of God. He was not only blessed for it, but he was saved for it. We need to make sure we're suited up so that we can stand firm. We got to put on the equipment. Football started, right? Anybody in here interested in football? Gary. You know what? If you don't wear the right equipment, bad news. Even when you wear the right equipment, right? I mean, they're having these serious issues with concussions. It's just like these guys keep getting stronger and faster and hitting harder. But just, you know, think about that. Put yourself out there on the football field with no equipment on. Not good. And it's the same with us. Trying to survive in this world, trying to survive against the enemy without putting the proper equipment on. We need to realize that the battle comes on two fronts, that there is the spiritual forces and there's also the worldly stuff that we deal with. But the thing that you really need to remember is we're not fighting against people. Even though people may be influenced by those spiritual forces, we don't attack them. We need to stand for the truth. We need to stand for the truth. Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the apostles answered. They're standing before the council, and the council is telling them to not speak about Jesus, and he said, we must obey God rather than men. Have to obey God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to know God's word. We need to know how to handle it. We need to know how to use it to battle the enemy. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. In other words, don't believe the lie of the enemy. Who wants to come in and say, well, you know, did Jesus really die and rise again? I mean, did that really happen? Come on. Seriously, do you really believe that? I mean, he's going to use anything he can to try to dissuade you from believing what God says is true. We need to stand firm in our faith. We need to stand against evil. We need to stand against evil. Psalm 94:16. This is the writer of the psalm is specifically saying this, but we can apply this to what God might say to us. Who will stand for me against evildoers? Who will take stand for me against those who do wickedness? Who's going to stand? Things are not getting better. And the church is going to have to be more bold and be more willing to stand on the truth. The church allowed them to take prayer out of school. The church allowed them to make abortion legal. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute, aren't you putting a lot on the church? Yeah, I am. Because did we stand for the truth? Some did. But as a whole, did we really stand and say, wait a minute, this isn't right. This is wrong. We need to stand against evil. the spiritual forces of darkness that are trying to destroy this world. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." Every time I read this passage, I think, well, wait a minute. Lions don't go around roaring. They're stealthy, right? I mean, you've seen Animal Planet or Kingdom or, you know, right? See the lion stalking its prey. Is it making any sound? None. Right? This is yes. This is no. This is I'm not really listening to what you're saying. Right? And so when I read this, I think, wait a minute. So what's the deal here? Why would this be going on? Well, here's my opinion on this. Satan doesn't care. He's not afraid to make a big racket and come after you. He's smart. He's a created being. God created him. It says he was like one of the number one angels. He's not afraid to be bold. Sometimes he'll be subtle, but really not most of the time. James 4:7 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's what you need to do. Submit to God. Submit. Number three, we need to be standing for one another. Standing for one another. Encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who is loved by us, given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and the word." When we see a fellow believer standing firm for the truth, that encourages us. When you hear somebody standing and speaking the truth, confronting evil, that should encourage us to stand and do the same. And that's what Paul is saying here to the Thessalonians is, you're encouraging us as we see you stand firm. Philippians 1:27 says, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Standing firm to encourage one another. All right. What about this idea of fleeing? Should we ever flee? Should we ever run away from a fight? I think there are times when we should. One of the times that I think that we need to flee is when we're not prepared. You know, it talks about preparing and putting on the full armor so that you're ready to do battle. You know, if an athlete or somebody in the military, if they don't prepare properly and they get ready to go into battle, they're actually a liability. So we need to be careful as believers in Jesus Christ that we're prepared to stand firm. And that if we're not prepared, there may be times when we need to flee. One of the people in the Bible that I think of is Joseph. Think of Joseph as a guy who, I mean, he loved God. He stood firm. But there was one time he didn't. He was sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. It says that Potiphar's wife was looking at him lustfully, and she kept asking him to come lie with her. And it says that she did day after day. She didn't just let it go. And Joseph stood firm. He resisted. But there came a point. It says he was in the house with her, no one else was there, and she caught a hold of his garment, and she said, lie with me, and he left his garment there and ran outside. He got out of there. He got away from the temptation. He knew it was time to flee. It was time to get out of there. The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee immorality. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, flee idolatry. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. 1 Timothy 3:10 through the first part of 11, we need to flee bad doctrine. I heard one of the current people running for president on the Democratic side. Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg. Anyway, however you say his name. All right, have you heard this guy? He's a professing homosexual. He has a husband. He also claims to be a Christian. And he even quotes scripture. You think maybe his doctrine's off? So here's the guy who is saying, because he's going after the Christian vote. And he grew up kind of churched. So I started really looking into him to see his progression and all the different churches he went to, and obviously, he's part of a liberal church. But someone who can say, my lifestyle is okay with God. My lifestyle is okay with God. I can have a husband. I can live this way. It's not a problem. I'm not sure what Bible he's reading. Because the Bible is very clear on that subject. It's very clear on that subject, that it is wrong. We need to flee bad doctrine. What we need to run towards is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Paul, in speaking to Timothy, this is what he said. These are the things to pursue. Go after these things. This is one of the things that we definitely have got to stand firm on is doctrine. Stand firm on the truth of the Bible. When we hear something that sounds sort of right, we need to make sure it's absolutely right. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know. And so they hear somebody, especially like a politician, that will say something about, well, it says in the Bible, da-da-da-da-da-da. They just go, oh, okay, well, that must be in there, right? And there's a lot of people that are, that's just what they think. Oh, it must be in there. Because they don't really know, and they're not going to go look. So those of us that do know need to say, no, wait a minute. That's not what that says. Just like Jesus did when Satan was tempting him, and he said, this is what God's word says. just like Eve should have done when Satan came and tempted her, and she said, no, that's not what God said. You almost got it right, but no, that's not what he said. That's why it's so important that we know God's word. That when we hear stuff like that, we can go, no, that is not what that says. That is not what God's word says. And realizing that when we stand, we say, this is what God's word says. This is not what I'm saying. This is not my opinion. This is what God's word says. And we need to stand firm on that. Philippians 3, 20 through 4, 1. Paul speaking to the Philippians, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Those of us who are believers in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. This is not, we are not citizens of this world any longer. But we look forward to that heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even all things to Himself. Verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long see my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Let's pray. Father, there is a lot that's wrong in this world. And those of us that know right need to stand firm. We need to be bold. We also need to love and show grace right along with speaking the truth. We need to remember that our battle is not against that person. It's against the spiritual forces of evil that have influenced that person. Father, give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to do what we need to do at the proper time, in the proper way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.